Hello, welcome in to a fresh new episode of Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio. We are here every week with a new show, and I'm Clara Apollo, your host today, but I'm also here with my co-presenter, Sarah Lloyd, our magical PR mama is here. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Clara, how are you doing?
Yeah, good to see you. And not singing again. Voice must be getting better. But the last time that we were together, we were on the same show when Janie Lee Grace was talking about family constellations and her own journey with healing the mother wound, wasn't it?
Oh my goodness, that was an amazing show. I still need to book in, actually.
Yeah, see her. Yeah, sure. And this week, we actually have one of her friends here and a very, very dear, dear soul. I'm very blessed to have Sue Stone with us. Sue Stone is a transformational leader and TV presenter. Welcome to Mother Speaks, Sue.
Thank you, ladies. Delighted to be here.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So we've got Sue on the show because she's got a fantastic sort of transformational, sort of an alchemist story, actually, about what happened to her when she was left with a single mum with young children and her job had collapsed, and how she transformed her life around that to become the person she is today. But also, we're going to be asking Sue about what is it like actually living with your three grown-up children, because she does rather successfully, and your young granddaughter. So before we get into that, though, if you're new to this show, let me give you a little overview here, because Mother Speaks is an unapologetic deep dive and occasionally stumbling journey into the mother energy, from mothering children and businesses to the expressive wisdom of Mother Earth herself. This is a show where mothers and occasionally fathers meet to speak about things that matter on topics across the board, from birthing babies, books and new projects, to parenting children, animals and oneself, plus all the conundrums of identifying as being a woman in this day and age. So we are a community. We're called together to co-author the book, Wake Up Mother, which, if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see me flashing this nifty book jacket. And you can find out more about how you can get hold of that on wakeupmother.com and our Substack platform, wakeupmother.substack.com. But here on the radio show, on podcast, we share the conversational mic between our collective circle of four creatrix mothers at various stages of parenthood and project development. And last week, you heard from Sarah Lloyd, who's my co-host here today. She was with Kathy Bell, and their special guest was Carolyn Creel on the power of decluttering and the transformational experience of becoming a grandmother, which leads us really neatly into introducing Sue Stone, powerful woman, warrior woman, who alchemized her fortune from only having £10 left in her purse. She was depressed and desperate, full of fear. And now she's transformed to becoming totally at peace, happily, financially free. She was on TV's Secret Millionaire. And yes, she has achieved an incredible life transformation and has a unique, remarkable and uplifting impact on the people she comes into contact with. So Sue, wow, what a life so far. Can you pick up the story about...
I have my notepad. I'm taking notes.
Yes. You know, what were the series of events that led you to become a single mum with only £10 left in your purse? What happened to make that occur?
Thanks, ladies. Well, just to sort of take it back even further, I'd started this job with a man that as a friend, and it was the guy that I fell in love with working together. And it's the guy I married, and I'll never take it away from him. I really did love him when we got married. But what's interesting, talking about being a mother, that I just had no maternal instinct. I had no desire to be a mum. Yeah, years away, I was going to be a mum. Mm-hmm. And it was only when I had actually a ovarian cyst, and I was quite poorly from that, and I had it removed, and I remember coming round from the op and the guys coming to see me and saying, look, if you want to have children, you better go for it. otherwise you may have problems. So that suddenly kicked something in with me. And I thought, oh my God, I want to have children. But even then I wasn't, anyway, and then fairly quickly, I was very grateful that I did conceive Natalie, my daughter. And of course, having been so not really interested in babies or anything, suddenly this incredible unconditional love comes in, as we know, and as we hold this little thing in our arms. And my father used to laugh at me and say, I just can't believe I was, you know, besotted with this beautiful little thing. So you talk about the birthing of children. Of course, then I went on and found that I was expecting twins the next time. So I definitely did not have any problems having children. And as you know, I've got two identical twin boys, Rich and Nick, and talk about birthing, but I literally gave birth to them both naturally. So wow. I've done my bit on the birthing side.
Certainly haven't. How many years apart was Natalie and the boys?
Nats was 2.5 when the boys were born, and it was one of life's little flukes. You know, we don't have, it tends to be non-identical twins that run in the family. It's the releasing of the two eggs. So when I was taken into hospital thinking I'd got an ectopic pregnancy, I lost the one I'd got, to be then scanned and said, oh, you've got twins. It was like, what? Oh, and wow. Yeah, it was quite something. Luckily, I was over the moon. I was so hot and giggly about it. And the chances were they were going to be identical. So I thought, well, rather than, you know, if I had a choice, I'd rather have had boys. You know, I'd have a choice, if you know what I mean. One of each. And they're mirror twins, yeah. So that's been quite an interesting, one's right-handed, one's left-handed. So anyway, that was my birthing journey. It was jolly, jolly hard in the beginning.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, really, really hard work. And things got quite stressful in the business, and we ended up expanding an awful lot quicker, and decisions were being made that I didn't sit right with me, but I was a lot younger and I was a woman in a very much a male dominated business sector. Right. And so I thought, who am I to really, all those years ago, question these older men? They, you know, they must know what they're doing. But it ended up escalating out of control. And also my marriage, it just wasn't good. And got very challenging, and without going into detail. So in 1997, I had the courage to leave my husband, but I knew that I, at some level, I thought, I know I'm risking myself financially, but I just knew I couldn't spend the rest of my life like this, and my kids were quite young. So, but I had a belief at the time that once one thing went wrong, a load of other things would go wrong. And I had not any idea at the time what a self-fulfilling prophecy that was going to be. So that's when things escalated out of control, debts, you know, up to our eyeballs in debts. And sadly, my ex-husband just buried his head, couldn't cope with it all, and never paid a penny towards my three children ever. So it was very much then, that last £10, when I was maxed out on everything, and the story that you are aware of, but it was very real. I was maxed out on every single credit card, loans and stuff. Honestly, I've been the expert at doing it all wrong, but I was desperately trying to keep it all going.
Yeah.
And then realizing I was maxed out on every account, in arrears, had the bank trying to repossess my home. It was a terrifying time. But that £10 moment was my wake-up call. And I remember thinking, wow, how on earth has my life come to this?
Yeah.
And the following morning, yeah, I do think that I just kicked in and I said, Sue Stone, if you don't do something to turn your life around, no one is going to do it for you. And that was that turning point. So and I'd actually forgot what it felt like to be happy. I remember thinking, I can't remember how that feels.
Mm. How old were your kids at that point then? Were they...
Like 12 and 14.
Gosh, teenagers. That was
so. That would have been a tricky. Yeah. With it, I mean, I have two girls, and there's 2.5 years between them. So I can, you know, you go through one cycle, and you think you've got it nailed, and then the next one goes through it again, and you're like, so you must have been on a hell of a roller coaster. So, you know, wow. Just thank you for sharing that story. Just the fact that you're here now. Just goes to show, you know, one foot in front of the other, isn't it?
Sometimes. Anything is possible, absolutely. And I was very embarrassed about how bad my life had got. People just didn't know at the time. And obviously, when I realised I was in my £10 moment, I had to come clean to a few people. And but the one thing, my mother, talking about mothers, my father left my mother. I was very close to both my parents and felt very loved by both my parents. I would say that. But my dad left my mum when I was 7. And all those years ago, it was pretty well unheard of. She was the only divorced lady in her circle of people. And the amazing thing is, my mum never criticised my dad to us as children. She was the most unselfish lady. And little did I realise that years later, when for different reasons I leave my husband, that I just knew he wasn't paying a penny towards me, but I had friends around that wouldn't let their husbands or the exes or the fathers see their kids because they weren't paying them any money. And I just thought, I can't do that and bring my children in. And so I kept it very much to myself. The kids didn't know, but after a while, of course, they got old enough to work it out for themselves, and of course they did, and they've had quite a healing process to go through with their own father, as you can imagine, that my ex-husband. So I mean, that is all very much healed and in the past, as you know.
Yeah, I think this is a really good point that you make, Sue, about this not bad-mouthing your ex, because you know that my son was 2.5 when I split up with my husband, his dad, and he came from divorced parents. And he said to me, it's really important that we don't badmouth each other in front of him. And that was such a good piece of advice. I mean, there was some difficult times when it was like, stuff needs to be said, but not in front of him. And always like bigging up his dad, and he saw his dad every other weekend anyway, and all just going with what a great dad he is. He's been a fantastic, still is a fantastic dad to Lou. So I think that it's really important, if you can, to think of the psyche of the children when the split up happens there.
I remember when I was little, young, and then when my dad told me 7 years later he was going to get married again. She wasn't the reason my mum and dad split up, but and all I remember thinking is, as long as my dad still loves him and he'll always be my dad, I don't care. So that stuck in my mind. And I remember saying to my ex-husband, look, please, will you bother with our children? Because I don't want them growing up feeling unloved. So, but I do feel just that was when my warrior mum bit kicked in, and very much so. And the four of us have been exceptionally close going through what we've gone through. And, you know, I will admit I was quite a stressy mum, to be honest, when things were really bad. And I certainly wasn't present in the now. I was trying to give them food, and my head up here was thinking, how am I going to answer that call when the bank phoned me tomorrow? And I was all over the shot. And I just remember this, a year after I split up with my husband, I met this other man, and I wrote about him in my first book. I called him Ray in my book, but his real name was Andy. But anyway.
Oh, he's outed now.
Yeah. And but I remember it was still all added to the downfall. That was on, it was off, it was the best, it was worst, you know. And I went through this transition of trying to work on myself, but still being quite snappy because obviously things didn't change overnight. And I remember him saying to me, Sue, it's not your kids' fault that you're going through this. I don't like the way you speak to them. And it was like an absolute metaphorical slap in the face. But it was, I took it on board and I thought, wow, this is true.
Yeah.
It's not my kids' fault I'm going through this. And of course, I was very short with them. And I mean, that's been out on television, my daughter saying, oh, yeah, well, you remember when mum was really snappy, mum, you know. But that's when I really started to make it my mission to be very present in the now. And whatever I was focused on in that moment, I would do to the best of my ability, including having valuable time with my children, sitting round, talking, And well, as you know, the rest is history. I have the most wonderful relationship with my children. And of course, they have since said they feel grateful in hindsight that we went through that desperate state, because there were times where we did have money. There were times when we didn't. It was on, it was off. And then we'd go on nice holidays. And they said, you know, we would have potentially just taken all that for granted, Mum. So my kids have been very wise souls and as well. And, you know, it's about living consciously, I think, and being aware. And we've all worked on ourselves.
Oh, yeah. This is so interesting. So is that awareness of your kids' psyches again, are going through the difficulties you had that actually turned you on to the now moment? And of course, one of your books is all about that, isn't it? And that brings us into the present moment, to where our heart connection with those that we love is so, I was going to say it's so strong, but it also needs nurturing, you know, in the way that you're responding to their energy in that moment. What do they need from me? You know, and it's being able to explain things to them in a way that bonds you closer, even as you say, when you're going through difficulties. It's like, look what Mum's done to get us through this. I mean, that's a very powerful way of bringing them up.
Yeah, I think they are. They're proud. They've looked back and thought, wow, Mum, you know, I've been the mum and the dad. And one of the main things I always instilled is manners maketh the man and the woman, whatever. But bring them up with good manners, treating people how you want to be treated. And also consistent discipline as a mother, just not threatening something and not seeing it through. I think my kids knew if I said no, I meant it. Whereas I had other friends that maybe they'd have a couple of glasses of wine and then the kids would carry on whining. And then in the end, the kids, they'd give in and say, oh, okay then. Whereas my kids knew if I said no, it's no. And that was hard sometimes to have that consistent discipline for children. Yeah. So,
But that's also the energy of the warrior mother, that the love that you have. It's a powerful force. You knew that it was important to stick to these, to the clarity of your relationship, you know, so that it wasn't woolly. And that, we're going to go into a track now. We're going to go into one that actually I've chosen, because Sue trusts me on choosing tracks, don't you, Sue?
I do.
Yeah. Sue's been on Chi Time many times. You can see that on my YouTube channel, Chi Time TV, or on the podcaster Chi Time. But anyway, here, this is a track that's really special to me because it came out in 1989, which is where my son was born, and your little lads were born the year before, weren't they?
Yeah,
and it was just one that I remember being a new mum and dancing around the kitchen to Delight's Groove Is in the Heart. So enjoy this, and we'll come back with Sue Stone and Sarah Lloyd and myself here on Mother Speaks after this. Do enjoy the dance. Mm-mm.
Dig.
When we're done, satisfaction of what's to come.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back into Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio with myself, Clara Apollo, and Sarah Lloyd, my co-presenter, and our special guest, Sue Stone. And we're diving into what it's like parenting kids as a single mum when you have got challenges yourself. How do you connect with your children honestly around that? And being able to transform your lives and also grow this bond with them even more. So just in the break here, Sarah just picked up on this. What did you say to Sue? You said it was something like, you've just described my weekend or something.
So, yeah, obviously this is, we're going to be fresh out of Easter holidays and I've got two small ones that are 7 and 9. They're two girls. So I think that does, you know, they're very forthright. But I was so interested in what you were saying around the boundary piece, around the snappiness, around, you know, you just described my week because I had, my mind was elsewhere because I mean, I run my own business and, you know, you've been in that situation too. And sometimes it's just taking that time to just sit there and go, okay, so I chose to this way of living. Why am I not enjoying this? It's kind of what is going on? And I had to really sort of unpick that. And everything you've just said, it's like, oh, okay, I need to be more in the moment. The whole, you know, the whole purpose that we make these changes as women. And I mean, I'm not a single mum, but last week I was the primary caregiver because my husband was working. So it was me and the girls. And it was, there were some moments where I was just like, oh my God. And I think it just, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's a holiday thing where you just have to get used to each other again, or whether it's just they're getting to an age, or there's just lots on your mind. I mean, as a mum, I think the mental load is massive. And, you know, I can't begin to imagine what your mental load was like. And, you know, any tips on how to navigate that mental load would be amazing.
Well, I remember when, you know, things were pretty desperate and somebody saying to me, one day, Sue, you'll be really grateful for this, you know, the way everything had worked out. And I was like, there's no way I am ever going to be grateful for this situation. How can I be? And of course, now I truly am. You know, I had forgotten what it felt like to be happy. I was consumed with fear and desperation. And it was only learning everything I felt that I now talk about, how our thoughts create our future. The way I feel in every moment is what I'm creating. These are very simple explanations of how we create our experience and our reality. And that's realizing that we live in this eternal moment of now. We only ever have the now. And I used to, after a while, when I started to get this stuff, I thought, Sue Stone, you're just focusing on, I'm going to be homeless, I'm not going to be able to feed my children. We've got to watch our language, what every thought we think, every word we speak. I can't cope, the kids are messing up. We are declaring, demanding our intelligent universe to bring us more of that. So it really came down to becoming the observer of myself and how I was responding, you know, E plus R equals O, the event plus our reaction to it equals the outcome. So if we carry on doing what we've always done, we get more of what we've already got. Or the definition of insanity is behaving in the same way and expecting different results. So I literally had to, E plus R equals O, we learn to respond differently. And well, I think my kids have also been quite good teachers as well. I should say quite good, very good teachers, because I think we went through a stage. One thing, though, I will say, obviously, as we talk about motherhood, it comes back to me. Going through those teenage years with my children, I didn't have a short memory of what I felt like as a teenager. So I gave them space to go out, but set limits, right? You will be back by this time. And I said, if you let me down at all, that's it, sort of thing. So I didn't have a short memory of how I felt as a teenager. And that has really helped my relationship with my children as they've been getting older. But also just having that, being the observer of myself, realizing and taking full responsibility for myself. And then, of course, that filters through with your children. But the kids would maybe sometimes say, Mum, you're expecting that of us, but are you actually doing that yourself? Ooh. And it was like, what? Yeah, and, of course, yeah. I thought, fair enough. You know, we can't, as parents often, you know, expect stuff from our children. Yet, are we actually doing that? We need to be the change we want to see in the world. Yeah. But we need to be the change that we want to be, that role model for our children.
You said about the tone of voice as well. That was something that really resonated in that, you know, one thing that came up for me last week was my daughter was, Mummy, don't talk to me like that. And you're like, oh, when they come at you with what you've been going at them, it really does hit home quite hard, doesn't it?
I think if we're living in awareness, as I would say, consciously, and we clearly as a family have, I felt we'd really normalised a really mediocre situation, which is now I observe it. People normalise a very negative situation. So my normal is surrounded by absolute love and joy now, because the more we give out of whatever energy we give out, the more love we give, the more we draw back love to us. And it's so true. So by shifting in the beginning, just to focus on gratitude, even though there was chaos still going on out there, I literally made it my mission to work on myself, to change my thinking. And I urge people to, you know, to not wait till you get as desperate as I got before we wake up and realize just how powerful we are. And actually, I've just thought of something. I used to say this for years. I am a wonderful mother and have a wonderful, loving relationship with my three children. I used to set that intention. I am a patient and loving mum. Look, you know, words to that effect. Obviously, I haven't said it for a long time. But even that, if we start to say it enough, we start to outplay that behaviour. And, of course, back to what we give out, we get back. So,
So I think that's such good advice, to turn it round, to have that observational viewpoint of realising that you're in a thing yourself. You need time out. You need to either, you know, because to have that expression, there's something coming through you of frustration or whatever it is, it needs to go somewhere. And so my feeling, I would run out the back door and just go and breathe with the trees for a bit and go, right, so I'm grounded now, I can go back in, calm mummy, you know. And I think that to acknowledge that there is emotions that are rolling through you that do need to be expressed in the right way can then clear you back in. But that does require this awareness in the now moment, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And knowing what you can do, which is what I think we all share, really, isn't it? Walking out in nature, or, you know, that self-care. I used to think when people say you've got to learn to love yourself, I didn't get it at all in the beginning. I just thought that sounded completely egotistical and everything. So, but as you, I know, always speak on, Claire, but self-care and just valuing yourself. I actually lost sight of me. And I talked to so many. I was the mother. I was the daughter. I was the wife. I was the business partner. Sue lost herself completely. Mm. And I'd forgotten that I felt like that, but I absolutely lost sight of me completely. This was before I split up with my husband. Right. And back to caring for ourselves and realizing that we're worthy. We're not here just to, but of course, a friend said to me all those years ago, Sue, have you not thought you're your own worst enemy? Because you just do everything and you deal with everything, you sort everything. And, you know, I was a bit of a busy fool all those years ago in the nicest possible way. I was racing everywhere, trying to be everything to everyone. This is actually before the complete marriage breakdown. And I remember thinking, what am I my own worst enemy? But of course, if we carry on doing it and letting people get away with it, you know, it's a slippery slope.
I think so many people that are listening would probably resonate with that massively, because I think that's the old archetype of mother, isn't it? We mother everybody. It doesn't matter if they need mothering or, you know, my husband's constantly telling me, stop making the kids toast. They can do their own toast, you know, stop doing it. And it's kind of, you get caught in this like funny little balance of, well, this is what mothers do, isn't it? And so when you lose your sense of self, there is that element of, there's that letting go piece of, okay, they're old enough now. They don't need me to wipe their bums and change their nappies and things. They're now growing up, and it's that letting go into the next stage, isn't it?
Do you know what? That's just also reminded me is that when it was just the four of us, even when I moved to this house, by the seat of my pants, which was just guided by my dad, I feel nudged. And he came around this house to be nosy, but something inside me went, you've got to live here. And so it was very dodgy for a little while. I just took that leap of faith. Lots of people thought I'd lost the plot because, you know, a single mum having gone through what I'd gone through, the ones that did know. But oh my God, has it paid off? But I remember saying to my kids, right, we're all in this together. This is obviously as they're getting a bit older in their teens. And, you know, they're pretty responsible at 14, 15, 16, aren't they? And I said, we're all in this together. So, right, you put the rubbish out. You guys unpack the dishwasher. I gave them responsibility is what I'm really trying to say. And I remember years later, loads of people saying, how do your children do this? Mine don't. You know, my kids after a meal would just get up, clear the table, stack the dishwasher. And people are like, I said, but I gave them that responsibility when they were young, and that's their job. And they said to me when they first went abroad, the boys, and they were living, this is really interesting, in Lake Tahoe in the States. They were doing a ski season for 6 months at Squaw Valley. And there were about eight of them sharing a house. And I remember my 18-year-old sons ringing me going, Mum, thank you so much for the way you brought us up. He said, because we are all just dealing with it. Maybe they were early 20s, okay. But they had other friends. They're all guys whose mums had done everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said, they're completely lost.
Yeah,
they don't even know how to wash their clothes, let alone cook, let alone wipe the sides, you know. And my boys just stepped into their power and just said, I remember that vividly, thinking, wow, how incredible is that? And I think a lot of it is because I was single.
Yeah.
And you got them on team, and you've been living with them on and off ever since. Well, Nats and Hallie, your dear granddaughter as well, and the boys have kind of come and gone, but you're all now living together still in this same home that you moved into together as a team. Oh my goodness, this is just like a wonderful story, but it's real life, you know. And oh, I really want to talk more about this, but we're gonna have to go to another break. So I've got another track for you, which is inspired by the front cover of Sue Stone's new book, which is called A Wonderful World for All, which is a heart-shaped diamond. And I'm like, should I go down the Shirley Bassey route, bit of Diamonds Forever? No, let's bring it up to date. So there's a bit of Rihanna for you now and diamonds, and enjoy this. And we'll be back with Sue Stone and Sarah Lloyd and myself here on UK Health Radio after this track.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
Fine light in the beautiful. chasing star I see, a vision of ecstasy. When you hold me, I'm alive. We're like diamonds in the sky. At first sight, I felt the energy of some rage. I saw the life inside of you. So shine bright tonight. You and I, we're beautiful like diamonds in the sky. I too. Like a diamond, shine bright like a diamond, shine bright like a diamond, so shine bright.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back into Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio with myself, Clara Apollo, and Sarah Lloyd, and our special guest, Sue Stone. And we're talking about what it's like bringing up kids as a single mum, but also, as Sarah was interjecting, sometimes when she's having to look after her kids and her husband is away, and the structures, the foundations that you give your children so that they know where they're at. They need to know where the boundaries are. So a lot of them like to push against them, but they also are able to bring that into their adulthood and know how to manage themselves. And what's really interesting, one of the really interesting facts about Sue Stone, our transformational leader and TV presenter who's here with us now, she actually still lives with all three of her grown-up children and her granddaughter. And it's like, I am so intrigued to find out what that is like and how it all rolls and runs for you.
Oh, well, it's great. I love it. We all get on brilliantly well, but we all come and we go. And I think that's how it works. We're all completely respectful of each other. I mean, Hallie's dad, so my granddaughter's dad, Ben, we all get on really, really well. They're great friends. So, yes, he comes and goes as well. And, of course, my sons decided to follow one of their dreams a few years ago and go off to live in the Alps, the French Alps, which I said, look, you're both single, go for it. Because, you know, once you're tied down, not tied down, but you know what I mean, in a relationship, it won't be so easy to do this while you haven't got any huge overheads and things. And off they went. And we all cried saying goodbye to each other. We're the most pathetic family. But then as soon as we're on our way, we're all happy again because I'm focused on them being happy. But we're just hopeless at saying goodbye. And, of course, we'd go out there and see them and come back. And then, of course, just prior to lockdown, well, it was 24th of March 2020, it happened to be my birthday. It was the first day, official day of lockdown. I remember that birthday very well. And I didn't think my sons were going to make it back. And I was saying, oh, pay anything to fly them back into the country, you know, with Swiss Air, because EasyJet were cancelling it and all their flights coming into Bournemouth. And it was quite incredible. And little did I know. And that's just like, Mom, it'll be fine. I'm sure they'll be back just for the week, because they were coming back for my birthday anyway. And of course, you've probably seen that video that Nat's caught where she's managed to keep me up till 11 o'clock, knowing that they had been driving back through France on the ferry and they walked to the door. And I'm just this woo-hoo, this boo-hooing mother as they walked through the door,
my boys,
sobbing. Oh dear, I'm just reliving it. But I think lots of people, yeah, I have done well, and I am actually very proud of what I've achieved. At many levels, but fundamentally, as I said to you, I'm just a mum who loves her kids, and of course, everything I did working on myself to create a life to be able to give my kids that stability and love, of course, has unfolded into this, you know, worldwide thing, helping people around the world. But so we're very, very close. We won't be living like this forever, but in this moment, it's the only moment we've got. We've got space. We built another big chalet out the back of the garden. And of course, at the start of lockdown, when my sons were back, they started growing all sorts of things in the garden. And they've set up a Nourish community now where they're forward thinking guys, self-sufficient, and growing beautiful organic veg that they give to charities locally, homeless and helping people on low income, and giving the veg away. And they're now helping people learn how to, so, you know, to grow their own vegetables, whatever size plot you've got, basically, whether it's from a window. So we're very blessed. We've got 3 acres here. So they've got a bit of the garden that I gave to them, but I'm very proud of what they've achieved. And
that's amazing.
Of course, Natalie is my PA, so she works with me as well.
I love that, because I mean, just before we had the track, we were talking about, you know, the boys going off and being self-sufficient on their ski holidays. It just goes to show that grounding, that work you put in, how that's now paying it forward for, you know, through Nourish. And I mean, it's amazing, because I'm connecting all the dots here, and it's just, wow, look at, you know, that, what probably would have felt quite hard at the time to get them to do their chores and, you know, get them to be part of that team is now paying back dividends. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is wonderful. It's so rewarding, and the excitement you get when they sow some seeds and suddenly, you know, later that day, we see a little bit of growth. But this is what, of course, I talk about all the time. What we sow, we reap. What we sow in our thoughts, we reap in our lives. But we can actually see these beautiful seeds emerging gradually. And this is exactly what we can all do. And as a mother, the big key is to nurture our kids, to support them, to not tell them, you're no good, you'll never achieve. The number of people that come and see me, and I say, you know, the number one question I ask is very simple but powerful question: did you feel loved by your parents? And the impact that that can have, and how, even if parents did love them, maybe didn't show them, you know, and things. So yeah, I've been really conscious about that, and just always just showing love. You know, we're openly very close as a family, and I think anybody that knows us know we're real. We walk totally. Our talk.
But also, you know, you're showing that it can be done, this living as part of the extended family and community. And, you know, you also, let's just drop in that your ex-husband is also part of your community as well. So
yeah, that is quite something. He did start to pick himself up many years ago and went to sell timeshare abroad. And was aboard for 10 years. Once he did decide to try, never sadly made a great success of it. But he's gone through his greatest learnings, me never having him back, and him being just amazed at what a close family we are when he came back into the country when Natalie and Ben got married. And I said to him, look, if you'd like to, you could stay in one of my cabins at the end of the drive for a few months. And that was quite a few years ago now. And But he's a changed man. He's a great, he's got a job. He's a lot older than me. He did lose everything because he didn't take responsibility, and he's the first to admit it. So he's very grateful, very helpful. And I just see the positives in this. And I've definitely let go of that anger. So if anyone's listening to this with an ex-husband or an ex-partner, if someone had said to me 24 years ago when we split up, that if he was living anywhere near me, I'd have said over my dead body. So let me just tell you that anything is possible, but I just decided to let go of it. Holding on to resentment and bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. That is one of the most powerful statements I learned many years ago. And I thought, by holding on to that anger and that resentment, all we're doing is disempowering ourselves. And that was a process, don't get me wrong, to go through. And I became compassionate that clearly he wasn't up for making decisions and, you know, all that sort of thing. So anyway, but we all live very joyfully together. We have a lot of fun. We all come and we go like adults sharing a house. And hey ho, my hashtag love life, live life. You know, it's we're all very proud and supporting of each other. So
do you think, you know, looking forward, your vision for the future in on planet Earth right now? I mean, your book, as I said, you know, a wonderful world for all. This this focus on being in the now moment, the positivity, the shifting your awareness, and then being able to vision in what you want. And I know that you're part of a really big community down there in the where you're New Foresty, south of the UK area. And it's growing, isn't it? There's these growing communities of like-hearted people who are absolutely on it with their warrior vision for what we can birth through now.
I think that's absolutely the point, that the more I studied, the more, I mean, there's a lot of things going on in the world that people are still getting very caught into fear consciousness. And of course, unfortunately, if we focus on things that make us fearful, we're sending out that consciousness to fear. So we need, the time is now, with the energies and everything else, that all the old systems born out of fear, control and greed, all the low vibrational stuff, I've been talking about this for years, as I'm sure you have, it's all breaking down, it's being exposed. So let's give our focus and attention to the world we want to create, not the world we don't. And I see very well-meaning people talking constantly about what they don't want, what the governments of the world are up to, but this is giving it energy and attention. And we need to give our focus and energy in creating what we want, not what we don't want. So I think that's hugely, hugely important right now.
Totally. So thank you, Sue. This has been an incredible revealing of your mother side of things. And maybe people that know you won't have heard Sue speak like this before. But there's so much more that you offer too. Where can people find out more about you? Where can they go?
Well, probably the best start is my SueStone.com. It's fairly simple. SueStone.com. And of course, I have www.SueStoneFoundation.com, which I have a team of which you are one of them, of beautiful, heart-centered people coming together, each one of us with our unique gift to offer the world to make a difference. So.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for all that you bring through and all the support that you've actually given me over the many years that we've known each other. I really value you. So we're probably going to carry on chatting a bit about some of the topics that we're bringing up here for our Substack platform. But right now we need to wrap up the show. So if you have enjoyed listening to this episode of Mother Speaks, please tell your friends, and you can listen again here on demand on ukhealthradio.com and on their podcast stream on all the major platforms. And we also have a Spotify playlist handily called Mother Speaks, so you can find it with ease, containing tracks from the show so far and others that we want to share with you. So Mother Speaks is part of our Wake Up Mother community, and you can find out more about that on wakeupmother.com with our interactive portal at wakeupmother.substack.com, where you can catch up with the latest Wake Up Mother news, including listening to us on the Mother Speaks Unplugged with after show raw and sometimes explicit content. We are on Instagram as wakeupmother_community, and we'd love to hear from you to keep these conversations growing. I'm going to hand over to Sarah now because she's got some news about our crowdfunder and what that's about and how you can get involved and why you'd want to.
So we're passionate about giving mothers voices. And obviously we don't want to just stop at a radio show. We're creating all the spaces and bringing to life, hopefully breathing some life into this by setting up a crowdfunder. So you can find it on crowdfunder as Wake Up Mother community. If you'd like to pledge just a cup of coffee or maybe a little bit more, that would be amazing. That could go towards our cause, and hopefully we'll start to create spaces for more mothers to speak into their truth.
Absolutely. I mean, the mother circles are such an important way of us visioning in the future together and supporting one another. I think it's very key, and it's happening anyway, so let's bring this united connection together with us all. Whether you're birth babies or you're birthing projects, we have that mothering ability to be able to hold one another and to support and to be able to birth our visions through. So wow, thank you so much, Sue Stone, for being on our show.
Oh, thank you girls for having me on. I've enjoyed our chats.
Yeah, really, really inspiring. And next week, okay, I've actually got another chap coming in. Bill Douglas will be here to speak about how his mother actually was a very strong inspiration for the global phenomenon that is the World Tai Chi Qigong Day, which is occurring on the 29th of April this year. But up next on UK Health Radio's rolling stream of shows, it is the Menopause Sisters. So remember that you have a vast, untapped, fertile field of mother energy within you, regardless of what or how you choose to mother. It's just waiting to be honored by you, for you, and for the rich families or books, music, or projects that you are creating. So thank you from me and Sarah here on Mother Speaks. Thank you so much for listening. Go well, my friends.